We are pleased to welcome to the program the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. Mr. Bettman, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good.
You guys either have great foresight or are extraordinarily lucky, because we made a decision after we made the decision that you're no doubt going to ask me about, that we weren't going to engage in a public debate. But because you booked this 2 weeks ago, the last thing I would ever do is cancel on you.
Well, that's good of you, and we appreciate it.
Timing
is everything.
Yeah, it is.
In comedy and in life.
I'd love to tell you we had great foresight, but you know that's a lie.
No, you were lucky.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
So we're going to take advantage of our good fortune here.
Yeah, well, to a point.
In terms of at least talking to you about it, this has been a focus of conversation, as you can well imagine, during this entire program. Dave Andrews, who you know well, the president of the American Hockey League, was just in studio with us in the last segment, and we addressed the situation with him. Tom Rennie's going to join us tomorrow, the head of Hockey Canada, as we try and assess the potential implications of this decision. But I will tell you this, Gary, that there is a it's still believed by most that we have talked to that the door is not 100% closed, that the timing of your announcement leaves the opportunity for someone, whether it's the IOC, the IIHF, or the Players Association, to come forward with a proposal that would be more amenable to ownership. Can you comment on that?
I don't think that's accurate or realistic. The fact of the matter is that we have been clear for a very long period of time that the clubs have had enough of how disruptive the Olympics are to our season when we have to shut down for almost 3 weeks, particularly when we're halfway around the world. We've done this five times. It's not like we're a stranger to the process. It's not like we didn't try to embrace the Olympics. But not only has it not done anything for our game, particularly here in North America where our franchises play, it's been damaging to the seasons in terms of the competitiveness, in terms of the compression of the season and injuries to players. And, you know, even if you think about Sochi, there were four players who got injured and were out for the rest of the season. I think there has been a clear message that we've been giving that the clubs are negative on what the disruption means and are fatigued with it and didn't want to do it again. We weren't looking for a negotiation, and we're not looking for a negotiation. What I did in conversations many months ago with the Players Association was open the door to say, listen, if you've got some suggestion or some idea that makes this sensible from a league and club perspective, we'd like to hear it, because I know just as Don Fehr reports to his constituency and he can't do something that the players don't want to do, I have the same constraints with the clubs. And overwhelmingly, the clubs said, we've had enough of this. Now, that may have gotten triggered by the fact that the IOC kind of started all of this by saying they weren't going to pay the expenses. Because a lot of clubs that really never focused on whether or not we should or shouldn't be going said, well, wait a minute. If the IOC doesn't value our contribution, the fact that we lend players with contracts worth over $3 billion and shut down our season at a very important and prime time when no other sports league would do it, why are we doing this? And then ultimately over time, the IOC and the IIHF cobbled something together, although I still don't believe the IOC is paying everything that it has for the last five Olympics. And in fact, the IIHF would have had to divert money that would have gone to hockey development to try and include the NHL players. Putting all that aside, we were looking for something. You know, the suggestion that we made initially was in the context of doing the next World Cup was, you know, we talked about trying to do the World Cup on four-year cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the next World Cup would be at 2020. And it was in a discussion, I think, as far back as November, where we said to the Players Association, if you want to do it in 2020, you have to take into account the fact that we each have a reopener where we have to give notice in 2019. effective for 2020, we can't do a World Cup then unless we both give up our reopeners. I don't know what the players' reaction would be. I don't know what the owners' reaction would be. But we did this in 2004, and it didn't make a lot of sense. Collective bargaining for a year into a World Cup where then something may happen the day after the World Cup doesn't make sense. So either we both should give up our reopeners or we should schedule it for a different time. That led to a discussion where we said, and it wasn't a negotiation proposal, you know, if I went to the owners and I said, we're going to have labor peace for a fixed period of time, and we could have a robust international schedule of events, which would include the Olympics and two World Cups and two Ryder Cups in whatever form it would be, that might be something where I could get some of the owners to say, maybe that would be worth going to the Olympics, even though we don't like the disruption, even though we know it's hard on the season and affects the competitive integrity of it. Maybe as part of a broader picture, it might make more sense. And that didn't resonate. It wasn't a hard and fast thing. We were looking for something that might change the equation as to how the clubs looked at how much, in a negative way, the Olympics affects our game.
So did Don say no to a reopener?
Basically, he said he had no interest in any of the things we were talking about. And in fact, the position that the union articulated publicly last week was, we're not doing anything. We're not negotiating. We're not offering anything. You know, we should just have the right to go. I think that's a little extreme a position, but that's their position, and they're entitled to it. And we're not looking for a negotiation. What we were looking for was, are we missing something that might change the way clubs view this? Now, having seen the public statements that were made last week by the Players Association and by the IOC, where Mr. Bach publicly said, well, if you don't go to Korea, you can't go to China. Okay. We said, you know, the playoffs are coming up. We know what the sentiment of the board is. There's nothing going on. Why prolong this? Let's get it out of the way. Let's focus on the playoffs where the attention belongs, and let's move on, because frankly, there's nothing going on. And our view and everything I'm saying and describing isn't new information. I've been talking, and Bill Daly's been talking about the club view on this for probably a year.
Yeah. The other issue that's come up is your interest, and I think I certainly understand it. I think Damian does too, but I'll let him speak for himself, that the IOC has basically contributed little, if anything, to the prospective costs, insurance, et cetera. It's mostly been IIHF, and that in the agreement that you, well, the agreement you don't have, that you would, one of the things that you asked for was the right to use footage, Olympic logo, all those kinds of things that might have monetary or theoretical advantage to you down the road, and they have said no consistently. Is that accurate?
I don't have to overstate it. The fact of the matter is, we're not allowed to promote the fact that we're at the Olympics.
Correct.
We can't.
Simply,
you know,
put.
Even Sidney Crosby's, you know, gold medal winning goal, we don't have any access to it. Okay, all NHL players. I mean, you know the drill. One of your colleagues in the last day or so made the point that, you know, part of what is us, which we contribute to the Olympics, we don't even get to use. And we made other suggestions. Listen, if the IOC would move the Olympic hockey tournament to the summer, that would be great, okay? We'd be thrilled to have our players participate, because then it doesn't affect our season. Again, no other sports league shuts down to go give itself away and not have any connection to what's going on. And so, you know, we're being asked to make a sacrifice. And again, people say, oh, for the good of the game. You know what? We've seen it five times. To disappear for almost 3 weeks and have games come back at 7 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning makes no sense. You know, we asked to go to the summer and they said no. And why did they say no? Because hockey, in terms of hours of programming and the number of seats sold to the events, is probably too important to the Winter Olympics and their economics. And so, again, nobody is suggesting anything to give the teams a reason to reconsider their position. And that's okay, because we know the clubs don't want to go, and we weren't looking and are not looking to negotiate.
Two questions for you. Did this come up in the last round of collective bargaining agreement, and why wasn't it bargained then?
I don't recall specifically the discussions in the last round of bargaining, and I can't tell you, as I sit here today, why it's not in the collective bargaining agreement. But I suppose if it was that important to the players, the union should have insisted on being in the collective bargaining agreement, because it was in the prior collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, it was? What was in there?
Oh, yes, it was. It was an agreement that we were going to the Olympics covered by that collective bargaining agreement.
So it got taken out.
It's not in there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, and FYI, we talked to Don on several occasions, and Don Fear, the head of the Players Association, and his response, Damian,
he basically was, he said he assumed it wasn't an issue.
Yeah, and bad assumption. Huh?
Yeah.
Very bad assumption, but, you know, I mean, we've had the experience of five of these. And listen, you know, whatever criticism the league is getting from some quarters, and it's not universal, because a lot of people focus on the fact that they don't want to see their NHL team's season damaged by compression, by disappearing, loss of momentum, all the issues that come out of this. But in the final analysis, you know, I suppose I can take the blame for getting us into this in Nagano in 98, and we've tried it, but it doesn't work.
Right. Alex Ovechkin, one of the biggest names in the league today, said, "I'm going. No. I don't care. I'm going."
I love Alex as a person and as a player. We don't have to deal with that now. My expectation is that NHL players will be here playing for their teams. We don't have to get into that kind of debate and argument now. There's plenty of time between now and the Olympics.
Is that a team issue, Gary, or is that a league issue?
You know what? I don't even want to get into the debate over that now. The fact of the matter is, our expectation is our players will stay because, among other things, they have a contractual obligation to do so. It's their job. They get paid very well for it, and they owe it to our fans to make sure we have the type of season that we're supposed to have when we drop the puck on opening night and run through to the playoffs.
Not to belabor this, but Ted Leonsis has said before publicly, yep, and been quoted saying, "I will let him go."
I have heard that, but, you know, long way between here and there, and it'll be dealt with appropriately at the appropriate time.
Speaking on behalf of the owners, as you do, the other issue, and we talked to Dave Andrews about this, and he's unclear, as we all are, I guess, as to what happens now and what is the source of players for the Olympics. And the American Hockey League might very well be a key source. Do you have an opinion on how the owners will treat individual players there?
Again, that's something that we've got time to deal with. But the anecdote that I'll tell you is at least two or three of the leagues in Europe over the last few months have said to us, "We hope you go to the Olympics." And I looked at them and I said, "Why?" And they go, "Because if you don't send NHL players, we have to send our players, and that's way too disruptive to our seasons."
How do you get around this? And I think the answer to part of this is fans, or many fans who are very critical of the NHL for not going, don't see the break as disruptive as you say it is.
Well, I don't understand how they can say that in terms of loss of momentum, in terms of disappearing, not having home games in some cases for a month because of the way the schedule breaks. The fact that when we started this, there was really no NHL Network and NHL.com, and we have no content to put on for the 2 to 3 weeks that we're away. You know, if you have a team that's on a hot streak, it goes away. And it goes to another point as well. Some of our teams, NHL teams, would have in the past sent 10 players, and some of the NHL teams would in the past would have sent one or two players. And when you come back from an Olympic break, some teams are more banged up than others. Some are well rested. And we've seen lots of incidents where you go back where teams, NHL teams that had sent lots of NHL players either didn't make the playoffs or got eliminated earlier than people would have expected, like in the first round. So it has an impact. You know, you disappearing for 3 weeks in the middle of the season and having teams in disparate conditions when they come back is inconsistent with having the full season the way we do it. There's a loss of momentum, there's a risk of injury, there's fatigue. And by the way, the fatigue and risk of injury isn't just for the Olympians, it's also for all the players because, and you heard the complaints this year with the five-day breaks coupled with the World Cup about a compressed schedule, more back-to-backs, more 3 and 4. It's all part of the negative fall off or fallout from taking that kind of break.
Just to wrap up where we started.
What were we going to talk about if we hadn't made this announcement?
We're going to talk about playoffs.
Well, I'm going to have to come back now.
Yeah, well, sure. If you hang up from us and the phone rings and it's Don Fear on the other line saying, I'd like to sit down and discuss possible things we could do to make sure our players go to the Olympics, will you listen? Would you be willing to listen to anything they have to say?
We have a long-term, ongoing, day-to-day relationship with the Players Association. The Players Association has been conspicuously silent and absent the last few months, but I would never not take a meeting with Don to hear anything he has to say on any subject. But the more important point here is we're not looking for a negotiation. Plain and simple, NHL clubs have not wanted to go to the Olympics, and we have been saying that for months, if not years. And all we've done is confirmed it. We left the door open, not for a negotiation, to see if anybody had a suggestion. You know, people talk about our interest in international. Of course we're interested in growing international, but 2 weeks in four or 3 weeks in every 4 years isn't what's going to make it. We're going to play games in Sweden. We're playing games in China. I just got back from Beijing. There are lots and lots of opportunities for us to grow the game internationally, and they're not dependent on us shutting down in the middle of the season to go to the Olympics.
Last question, and it is somewhat hypothetical, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If these games were not in South Korea, if these games were not in that time zone, if these games were in a North American time zone, do you think your position might be different?
You know, that's a very good question, and it is hypothetical. And consistently, we have said when the games are played as they were in either Vancouver or Salt Lake City, we have to look at this differently because the amount of attention that it gets, the times that the games are broadcast, the less amount of travel that has to be done, and in fact the break is a little bit shorter, it's a different decision making that you have to go through. Having said that, as a general matter, I can't say it strongly enough, NHL clubs don't like having to shut down at a critical part of the season and disrupt our season for anything, let alone, you know, a situation where we're not given an opportunity to promote our presence, to connect with the Olympics, or make it clear that these are NHL players that are playing.
We always appreciate your time. We look forward to the next opportunity we have. If you have any big announcements, please let us know in advance what date you're going to announce them so that we can book the conversation. Yes.
You just have to book me far enough in advance to cover all your bases.
All right. See you next Monday. The commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman. Thank you, Gary.
Bye-bye.